Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
For you. And Elon was in a bit of trouble at about 8:30 to about 9:15 on the eve of the opening of the legal tampering period. Twitter goes down. How was I going to get my reports from Pelissero and Schefter and Rappaport for when a backup defensive tackle signed someplace? It was almost blue sky time. But Elon got it together. We will have Twitter. And in less than an hour, the legal tampering period will begin for the signings that have been reported beforehand. Or obviously the trades don't become official until, I guess, March 12th, is it? But the signings that have happened already, those are ones where a player was released. So those can happen, like Sheldon Rankins back as a Texan. That news can be reported because he got released. So that's why Sheldon Rankins can come back and be a Texan. We heard people locally report that for several reporters for several days say this could be a thing, and it turns out it was. So he was here in 2023. He's back. We'll see what else the Texans have in store. They don't have a lot of cap space, so maybe they're not very active. They did restructure Azeez Al-Shaair. You expect more of that to come if they're going to be even a minimal player for agency, just to add pieces. They've got their own guys that they have to give deals to. They may not be at the front of their priorities because those can be worked on as they get closer and closer to the year. But one guy who is going to look out on the landscape and go, you know what? I'm going to need, let's just say, to be say $5 million more than what he's getting, is Derek Stingley. Because J.C. Horn gets a giant deal from the Carolina Panthers. And who is J.C. Horn represented by? Athletes First. And why that might be something to you, that is David Mulligetta's agency. And guess who, knowing this could be a thing for him, guess who hired David Mulligetta and Athletes First last offseason? Right before the start of the 2024 season was Derek Stingley. So he is represented by that agency. So he's already seen his agency go get a corner that we would all say is not as good of a player as Derek Stingley, get a giant deal. So Derek Stingley's next. Does it happen immediately? Maybe not, but just be on the lookout. So what's the going rate for a really good corner? It is 4 years, $100+ million, and $70 million of it guaranteed, I believe. I was crediting Elon for getting it back, and now it's gone again. So we will see. It might be blue sky time. We will see if the Schefters and the Rappaports of the world start posting on blue sky to get their news out. But yeah, it's about 4 years, $100 million and $70 million guaranteed for J.C. Horn. So if you're looking for a standard of a number and a hurdle that Stingley will look to clear, it'll be that. So if the Texans aren't very active, it's because of who they have to pay. It's the price of hitting on high draft picks at premium positions. Stingley, Will Anderson, and of course, CJ Stroud. I don't think CJ Stroud, no matter what he does, I can't say no matter what he does. He still has some years. But what Josh Allen got, whatever is relative at the time when CJ Stroud's contract comes up, I don't think he's getting that unless he has an MVP under his belt. So I wouldn't use the record-setting numbers by Josh Allen for a couple reasons. The price will go up, and also we're talking about, if not number two, then certainly a top three quarterback in the sport. We can only hope that CJ reaches that level when it's time to get paid, but he'll get his money as well. So that's kind of an opening of the free agency. And, of course, if there's any Texans news between now and when the show is over, we'll let you know. We will be starting our second hour when the legal tampering period opens up. And, of course, we'll get you news from everybody else as well. I mean, I'm sure there'll be big names coming off the board. I'm sure some team's going to spend a lot of money on some guard. Be very exciting to pay a guard $110 million. I'm sure that excites a fan base.
Man. Can't wait. Can't wait to then see all the tweets about his PFF grade.
It's well worth it, yeah.
Yeah, why we either shouldn't listen to the PFF grade or why it defends why he's the highest paid guard in NFL history.
That'll be the calculus or the mental Olympics that everyone's doing no matter what the position is. Why I should listen to PFF, why I shouldn't. If your team, and if you're a big homer or you just love your team and you love free agency, if your team makes a free agent signing, you either discard the numbers that tell you that he's overpriced or you will laud the numbers saying you got great value. It doesn't matter.
Especially O-line, because there's nothing, like, you can't just go to like their ESPN.com page and be like, what? Yep. He had 800 yards receiving with that quarterback? This guy's going to be awesome now.
Yeah.
With offensive line, it's like, PFF grade's kind of all you have, other than being a real ball knower, which none of us, or very few of the people commenting on Twitter, but especially about like a guy who is on a different team's offensive line. Like, if you want to be a fan and you have a pretty good idea of how your offensive line is performing.
Like, for example, you asked me about Liam Eichenberg because we're talking about guards for the Texans.
Yes.
And my immediate response was, well, he falls down a lot, because I wouldn't know that about a Cardinals offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But I watch him fall down all the time while trying to block people, which isn't a good thing for a lineman.
No.
Or really any football player to fall down all the time.
You prefer he stays.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have known that about him, but I would. So that's your point.
Yeah. Is that we know a lot. I don't want to say intimately familiar, but we are intimately familiar with what Shaq Mason on your football team does, or Kenyon Green on your. We know the difference between Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson. If you just get like any other fan base just walking down the street, a Vikings fan, well, maybe Vikings because they have 17 former Texans on their team. Mm-hmm. But if you get a Green Bay Packers fan, like, they don't know who these guys are. So if they sign Shaq Mason, they're like, oh, sweet.
I remember him from the Patriots.
Yeah, he was
pretty
awesome.
Good. They're not going to know the last 2 years have been, particularly 2024, is a giant disappointment. They're not going to know, but we will.
We will. We'll judge.
I'm not going to search Packers Twitter.
No, I will. I will.
Well,
be like, you don't know ball.
Let me take it back. I will search it, but I won't comment on their misconceptions about Shaq Mason. If whoever or whoever signs him, mm-hmm. I will look into how people feel about him and go, just shake my head. Like, you don't know.
You don't know what I know. You have no idea what's coming for
you.
Because they're a team with actually a bad offense.
Yeah, you got, well, the Dolphins too, so I'm a little fearful.
Oh, he would love Miami.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would. A lot of guys love Miami. It's a place to be. Not to win, but it's a place to be. So, I don't know where Shaq Mason will land. He's no longer our problem. We will see what the Texans do to fill a hole that was there when he played, but certainly now that he's gone, a hole in that offensive line. I mean,
they thought they had the hole filled, to be fair.
But it was.
And then on Sunday, you're like,
Yeah, I don't know what convinced them. Maybe Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. And then Sunday rolls around. Oh, we got a problem. So they're going to have to figure that out and do it with little to no money. Of course, the salary cap is real, but it isn't. You can always make a move here or there to free up some cash. The Texans have done that so far. They can do it again. So, like I said, tampering period begins at 11 legal tampering period opens up, if they make a move, we'll let you know. And we'll talk about the NFL as a whole as well. Okay, we'll get to a camp update at some point today. A lot of words from Espada and Dana Brown on Cam Smith, including Jim Bowden's words that they kind of backed up, that he could possibly be playing in the outfield if he makes this, if he makes a roster, even if it's not opening day, even if it's later in the year, there may be a spot for Cam Smith to play some outfield just to get that bat in the lineup. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the Rockets news. Yeah, you smack around the Pelicans, but a couple major injuries, and there are reasons to like and dislike Ime Udoka if you're a giant Rocket fan, particularly if you're a stan of a player that's not getting a lot of minutes. But is this the real first, what the hell were you doing, thing he's done? For the most part, it's been 2 years of glad you're not Steven Silas. Man, this team plays hard. We love how this team treats the game. They're always trying to win. Hell, if they want to get in a fight, we're good with that too. We're not used to a Rocket team being this ornery. It's generally been positive vibes for him beyond rotations. That everyone complains about that stuff. But this one may be due for an explanation, so we'll get into that as well. We're just getting started here on the show. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. Me, Sean, till noon. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
He just needs the rebound.
Just shoot it off the backboard like Ricky Davis and go get it. Just make sure it's your own backboard. Shout out Ricky Davis. That's my guy right there.
And slow to get off.
That is good for Murphy.
That's limping a little bit.
And, oh, he's going to walk off the floor. Triple double might not be that valuable.
Yes. Less than ideal.
Hopefully that's just fatigue right there.
I got to call a timeout to attend to him.
Shane Goon, the first over.
And then Thompson going to go right back to the
good.
Rockets locker room.
So with about 5:50 to go in a 36-point game, the Rockets are leading. Now, Amen wasn't the only rotation player in the game. Jabari Smith was there. Cam Whitmore is not really in the rotation. Landell is in there as well. I think Aaron Holiday, too. So it wasn't as if it was the end of the bench. Some guys are just going to play no matter what the time and score is. But why your starting wing is in the game? You heard the guys talk about it, Craig Ackerman. That's from Space City Home Network. Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins discussing the triple-double and referencing the Ricky Davis play from, what, now 15 years ago or so? I don't know how long ago that play was. Maybe a little bit, maybe a little less time
like
than that.
25.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember it. It's been a long time, but it's still a play that lives in the lore of the NBA, him throwing the ball off his own backboard to try to get a rebound for a triple-double. The NBA said, no. Actually, no. You don't get that rebound. You don't get your triple-double. But Amen Thompson in the game, he goes up for mid-range jumper. First mistake. We don't take those anymore in the NBA. And I don't know who is a Pelican big. No one knows who the Pelicans are, to be honest with you. The Pelican big slides under him. Amen lands on his foot, and he turns his ankle. Could not finish the game. You heard them say go right to the locker room. So the question is, if the announcers thought it was about the triple-double, is this strictly Ime saying, hey, you're pretty close. You need one more rebound. Let's go get it. It would go against what he's about, it feels like. That doesn't feel like an Ime Udoka thing to care about a triple-double in a blowout of the Pelicans. But you got to ask, if that was a thinking, if Amen lobbied you to get a triple-double in this meaningless game and situation, and you said, you know what, let's go do that. Let's go get you another triple-double. Now, he's only out for a couple weeks. Those things, allegedly, we'll see how he responds. I'm going to treat everyone in town like they're the Astros until proven otherwise with their injury reports. But that could have gone a different way. I've seen guys land on another guy's foot coming down, and it's a month. It's a month and a half, particularly if it's a awful sprain, which really at that point is closer to a tear and a break because there could be ligament damage depending on how you fall. I don't really call out Emay for anything. He's done a fine job. This one, if that's his reasoning, if we find out that he's like, you know what, I'm in, let's go get you one against the Pelicans, I got a problem with it. There's no reason for it. It's not that important. Amen Thompson's not known as a triple-double king, and it's not breaking a record. It's a nice stat to have, but it was one of the soft triple-doubles. It was like 15, 11, and 9. Who cares?
It's also not his first career triple-double.
This is what I'm saying. Well, that's the other thing. He's not like known for getting them. Yeah. He has had them in the past, and it wasn't as if he was on like Jokic pace, like a 30, 20, and 20. This was like 15. It was going to be 15, 11, and 10 if he got the last rebound in a meaningless game. Well, not meaningless as far as the Rockets trying to climb up the standings.
At this point, it's meaningless.
At this point, it's meaningless. The game is over. I said it was 36 points. They're up with about 5:50 to go. It's a meaningless point in the game. It's a meaningless stat. It's not necessary. I'm not going to put that on him. That's the explanation. At least that's the reasoning people have. Because why would Amen Thompson be in the game at that point? And you heard the announcers talking about it. But why would Jabari Smith be in the game? He wasn't looking for a triple-double. Some guys with 5:50 to go have to play.
Yes. And
some guys are, even guys you care about and count on, are going to have to play at that point in the game.
Especially when you have a core seven.
And two, and one of them, who we haven't even mentioned, will be out for like 4 weeks.
Well, I think that that plays into this because I have just the clip up right now of right when he's turning his ankle. And on the court with them, like you said, it's Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Jock Landale, Cam Whitmore, and
was it Aaron Holiday? Was
Nate Williams.
Okay, Nate Williams, okay.
I do wonder if that ankle should have been Reed Shepard's. If someone has to get hurt. Someone has to get hurt. Because when you play basketball, you get hurt.
Yes, it happens.
Every time. I think that that's the Reed Shepard effect with you, because that team needs a point guard out there. I mean, you don't really need it, but you can't have Cam Whitmore dribble the ball up because
he won't pass it.
You want other people to have the ball.
Sure.
So you do need someone out there, Jayshon Tate. And you need a guy out there. So it's not like the most indefensible.
And to your point, and I've heard Emay talk about Amen as the point guard stuff. It's not, I know we stopped talking about it because he doesn't play the position that much and they have multiple guards who are point guards,
yeah.
But that's not off the table for the Rockets. And this would be a time to get him opportunities to run a team, get on ball stuff where he's actually the initiator and see how he fares. And I guess you say, hey, this is turnovers, a couple doesn't really matter because we're just, this game's a blowout. So this is an opportunity for him to have the ball in his hands as the primary creator. So there is some value there. If that is the reason they're doing it, I have much less of a problem, if a problem at all, with him being in the game. But if it's stat hunting, then that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we can sit here and say, like, doesn't seem like a Ime Udoka or a coaching staff thing. But, it's a possibility. But I think it's more likely that they needed someone to run the offense or to be like a point guard on the court and run the offense. And it makes sense that it would be Amen Thompson, like
who
you said.
Was drafted to be a point guard.
Yeah. So, especially because Jabari Smith's out there. If they wanted to, you know, really put all the scrubs in there or all the guys that Rockets fans wouldn't care if they
turned an ankle
and be out for, 2 weeks? Jabari Smith wouldn't be out there. Jayshon Tate would be out there.
Yeah, and you could have thrown Aaron Holiday, who, although does get rotation minutes, that's...
And Aaron Holiday should have been lobbying for, hey, I can get 20 points in this game, which he eventually did because he got hurt.
Yeah, someone had to come in for him. So.
Yeah, and he was like, finally, I get my 20-point game. So that's what we do at the Houston Rockets.
All it did was cost Amen Thompson his ankle for a couple of weeks.
Oh, sounds like more 20-point games on the menu for Amen Thompson, or for Aaron Holiday.
Does he have 5 more games because the Pelicans to play? Does he get the
pretty close?
It feels like it. We're in the same division.
Upcoming schedule. Well, no, and also the upcoming schedule.
Yeah, but the Pelicans are a real sort of bad. Like
they are. They are a special kind of bad. But there are the 76ers are on the schedule.
The Sixers actually try. They're not good, but the Sixers do try.
How much longer are they? Actually, look at their record. And okay, I'm fine with them trying. I don't think they're that good. Also, I don't know how much longer they'll be trying.
Well, I. I think if we want to call it a problem, the issue would be is that the guys who you would expect to have a whole bunch of quit in them, two of them already pretty much gone. Like Paul George is about done. The finger barely works. He's out there playing. He was out there playing for no reason. We know Embiid's gone, and they're going to shut down Maxey too. Then you're just going to see a lot of guys who just want to play because they don't get minutes.
Get buckets.
Yeah, so they will try. I think
Gershon Yabusele will be like,
yeah, he's playing for a new contract.
Yabu time.
Yeah, we saw he got brought back from the NBA graveyard because of what he did in the Olympics. That guy's going to try. Of course, the Sixers have a tanking agenda. Surprisingly, they're back to that. It has been part of their recent past. So they don't want to win a lot of games because their pick is like top six protected or something like that.
And they're like right on the bubble.
Yeah, so they're right on the bubble. So Maxey eventually will be a guy you don't see, and maybe the Rockets don't see him.
What I'm saying is that until they play the Nuggets on March 23rd, they do not play a team with a winning record, and then they don't play another one until the last day of March when they play the Lakers, who let's see if LeBron's playing.
And this is less about them and their ability to rise up the standings and more about how many 20-point games Aaron Holiday might be able to get?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the winning is like a side effect of that. That's like, oh, hey, couple wins too.
Well, if they're blowing teams out, he's got more chances.
I was gonna say I would like to see Aaron Holiday's 20-point games versus or the record when Aaron Holiday has 20-point games. I imagine it's good. They should do it every night.
We know it's a blowout one way or the other.
Yeah,
if he's getting 20-point games,
it's like when a team has a lot of rushing guards and they win. It's like, oh, okay, it's because they were up. They ran the ball.
Yes,
they're up. So Aaron Holiday got 20 points. Or actually, maybe Cam Whitmore. Honestly, if Cam Whitmore scores more than 16, that means he had to play.
If he's not starting
20 minutes,
yeah. If he's not starting because of injuries, if he's scoring more than 16, it's probably a blowout in some way, shape, or form. But I'm not going to lean into he was trying to get Amen Thompson triple double. I think it was more partly your thought about they needed someone to run the offense, but also my belief that they want to get him point guard initiator reps and see what it looks like as he continues to grow.
If this is a court of law, you cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was trying to stat hunt for Amen Thompson. I think he gets off. I just watched juror number two.
At least in this courtroom he does.
Yeah. I just watched enough juror number two.
How was it?
That was good. That was okay. Good. Good movie. Good flick. Clint Eastwood. Still got it.
Good to know. Speaking of like legends, that Gene Hackman story gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's a very odd thing to happen. We haven't talked about it since we initially brought it up, but now she was, according to reports, she was dead maybe a week before he died.
Yes. And she was like his primary caregiver giving him all the meds that he needs to take.
So her death eventually led to his death because there's no one to take care of him and no one to check in on them.
Which is wild.
Which is nuts.
Because
I don't know, but if he has kids or not.
Yeah.
No one calls. 90. No one calls dad. No, or I guess kids who are alive and kids who might care about him. I guess are the better questions.
I can't speak to that. Yeah, but I'm sure I can look up on Wikipedia.
I assume he has children. No one decided to check in on dear old dad to see what's up and not hearing from him. I imagine he's not calling you. He's 95, affirmed all that stuff. But the caregiver, no one could get a hold of her. That might have been a clue. But oh well.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace to
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, Betty. God, I don't want to get her name. Betsy. I'm trying to get her last name right. Betsy Arakawa. And of course, the family dog died as well. Okay. We will get to some Astro stuff when we come back. We'll do our camp report. If you want to get in, you can. Willie PSU. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Actually, before we do that, it's a question of dignity we're going to get to. If you're on a high school basketball team, would you be okay with holding the ball for 7 minutes because your coach thinks it's the best way to win a game? I don't know, man. I might have taken a shot. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean Mapes asked a very pertinent question. What does he have to do to get a hoop spot? 28-year-olds like to dunk, too. I mean, Jeremy Branham and John always talking about kids like to dunk. What, some 28-year-old who's running a home doesn't want to put a hoops in front of his yard? Not that Sean is in that specific scenario.
I would love to live in that world, though.
Yeah.
Where I have a home with a drive yard.
Yeah.
And an adjustable hoop that goes down to 8 foot. And after work, I could just dunk.
Yeah. I've seen enough. Like, guys who have homes, rent are roommates and rent a home together, whatever. I've seen those guys. They want a hoop where they can dunk on, too. It's not just for kids. Hoops. Let Sean know.
You're missing out on the 28-year-old market.
Yeah, just saying. Just saying.
And some 28-year-olds, they'd have kids.
Yeah, exactly. And it won't. And there may be toddlers, but it'll be for the 28-year-old.
Until they're five or six or however.
Definitely. And the hoops goal will last long enough for those kids to be able to dunk. That point, the 28-year-old and then into his 30s will dunk on the hoops goal.
I think I just want an adjustable hoop.
It's very cool. That's all I want. That's right. Oh, you'd rather have them send it to you than speak for them?
I don't have a place to put it.
I put it at your parents' house. Just go over there and dunk the basketball.
I'd move.
Move back. just for that. That's how great hoops is. Willie P., speaking of basketball, he called in last week to talk about going to the Pelicans game. What's up, Willie P.?
Hey, good morning, Del. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad. Yeah, I went to the game on Saturday. You know, I was dressed as workout Ken. My daughter was dressed as workout Barbie. It's funny because it was supposed to be a Barbie game. Didn't have too many Barbie decorations, which my five-year-old daughter was disappointed. She was like, there could have been more pink at the game. So we definitely stood out. People were taking pictures and congratulating me, being a great father, whatever. It was cool, great time. I am disappointed, though, that Zion decided to suck it up until the third quarter when they were down by 20. Like, dude, come on. One other thing, shout out to Fulham for beating Man U last week. Brighton. Like, are you kidding me? That is
Brighton's better than better than Man U. What are you talking about? They are. Oh, okay. Now reality has hit. Welcome. Brighton's better than you. You can't call in and talk trash to me. You can't call in and talk trash when the team that beat my team is better than your team. That's not how it works.
You know what? It's the history. I'll let it go. You know, real quick. You know what's funny? My dad told me that being a Manchester United fan is like being a Yankees or a Lakers or a Cowboys fan because it's been so long since we had Sir Alex Ferguson and we won titles. He's like, that's all you guys live off of is those titles back in the 90s and early 2000s, which is kind of true. But no, the real reason I'm calling is because you guys were crapping on a running point. And so I decided to binge it yesterday, and I watched the entire 10 episodes, the entire season. First off, love me some Kate Hudson, certified milkman right here. I ain't even gonna lie. I love me some Kate Hudson. I enjoyed the show. I get why they're coming back for a season two. It was entertaining. I mean, it's along the same lines as like Ted Lasso. So I think that's why I enjoyed it a lot. I really love Ted Lasso. I'm actually excited for that to come back as well. But yeah, man, you guys should actually just watch it. Okay. It's a feel good show, man. It's not bad. I recommend it. But anyways, you guys have a good day. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Sean A. Mace, what do you do, baby?
Appreciate it, Willie P. So, renewed for a season two. We got it's a good show review from Willie P.
Willie P. stamp of approval. Great father, Willie P. stamp of approval.
I forgot that was part of the equation, that it was Barbie day at the Rockets. He went out. He said he went as workout Kim. Michael Carroll. Really on the ropes.
I know.
I mean, he said he tried it and he couldn't deal with it. I don't know if he likes Ted Lasso. Maybe it's just that's not his bag.
Yeah, the kind of hopeful optimism type show.
With sports.
Yeah, he's like, give me something like The Penguin. Right? I like
optimism. Do you like Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Willie P. just said running points like Ted Lasso. Kind of a what Ted Lasso type show.
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm just saying, you're on the ropes. We got a review from a listener that was positive and a season two.
Boo.
He boos you,
wow,
Willie P.
Booing.
And the American public who liked the show.
And booing women in power positions everywhere.
We've been saying that for years. I don't know if Kate Hudson has the milkman appeal. That's why she's getting a season two. But I said it on Friday. The woman's been in the business for years, getting stuff made because of her appeal. No surprise that Running Point got a season two. Just didn't appear like a show I would watch. But you know what? Maybe I'll give it a try because Willie P. called the show out, and more so Michael for his negative review. So we'll get to that. Before we get to a break here, question of dignity, as I said before we went to break. If you missed it, this became a story because of the uniqueness of the situation. A Illinois high school team was playing for a section title. They're playing a team who they had lost to six times in a row, including twice earlier this year. The team in question was Pecatonica. Almost said Pentatonics, which I believe is a musical group.
I was about to ask. Yeah.
Pecatonica. They are a high-scoring team, up-tempo, although they play zone, which is kind of counterintuitive. They don't get out and press, but they do score a lot of points when they have the ball. So the team in question, Eastland, decided, you know what? We can't beat you playing normal, so we're going to hold the ball and force you to come out and guard us. And if you don't, we'll just keep holding the ball. Why? Because there's no shot clock in Illinois State basketball, apparently. We found that out. So they held the ball for nearly 7 minutes in the first quarter, and the first quarter score was 1-0. They made a free throw in this one.
Fouled somebody?
Yeah. The final score was, I believe, 36-31. Eastland won. So their strategy paid off. They slowed down and likely frustrated the team. And there's a clip of a kid just standing there half court holding the ball at his hip and no one coming out to get him. Like, it was a battle of wills.
Yeah, see, that's where Pentatonics has to hold some of this.
Pecatonica.
Whatever. they play in a league without a shot clock.
Without a shot clock.
At some point you have to force the issue on defense. At least make them,
if you're the better team, you have to go out there and force the issue.
At least make them have to, like, pass the ball around.
And are there 5 second counts in high school? Like, if you put pressure on them,
sure.
I don't know.
They seem to be playing an ancient form of basketball, so who knows what rules they have and don't have. You might not be allowed to cross over. I don't know. It's dribble. Illinois State basketball.
You can only dribble with one hand. Pick one, left or right. That's all you can do.
Also, this can't be a whole statewide thing, right? You're telling me that, like, Anthony Davis played without a shot clock and teams weren't doing this? Because if I played against Anthony Davis in high school, this is what I would do. I'll hold the ball. I can't let a future number one pick
beat me.
Derrick Rose went to the same high school. So did Jabari Parker, but that's less impressive of a name in 2025.
But still, he was
in
NBA.
In high school,
he was a top five pick.
Certified problem. People forget Jabari Smith was a problem, or Jabari Parker was a problem.
It is quite amazing that we're still playing. Well, look, in college basketball, we're still playing with halves.
That's also
only thing in the world of that sport where they play halves.
Women's basketball. Women's college
women's
basketball.
Women shifted to quarters. They all play quarters except for men's college basketball.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yes. So if I'm Pecatonica?
Yes.
I'm pressing.
Go out and guard.
I'm pressing.
Put some pressure on them.
Even a held ball,
switch a possession.
Just
so you get the ball back. Look, if you do it several times, look, even if the team doesn't get baited into actually playing basketball, you force a couple held balls in a row, it's your ball again.
Well, no, because they did eventually play basketball.
Yeah, in the third. Yeah, eventually. But for the first 7 minutes of the game, you're just going to stand there?
I don't get it. If I was a high school basketball coach, also, I would just press all the time. You see how press works in, like, college? Now you're giving me kids that are even worse than that?
Yeah, you better get him in condition. Get him in condition.
They're going to make a terrible decision.
You better get him in condition early because your guys will get blown out too as far as their conditioning. But yeah.
Okay, here's what I do. I hold the ball for 7 minutes to start every game.
Are you a better athlete? Do you have better athletes? Because you can press all you want, but if your athletes stink.
Here's what I'm running the hell out of them. Conditioning is not going to be the problem.
Okay, maybe.
We might not be able to
talent
take a jump
and athleticism.
Shot. Yeah, but we'll get fast break layups. That's all we'll do.
Maybe mid to slow break layups, depending on how fast your team is. But yeah, but as far as dignity is concerned, if you were on a team who employed that strategy.
So I'm on offense, holding the ball.
You're Eastland.
Okay.
Would you feel good about winning a super sectional title that way? Look, you've lost to this team six times in a row, so they beat your head in. So you got to try.
Did we do this every time?
This is the first. I believe it's the first time you tried.
Okay, that helps. That in a weird way that helps. Where it's like, okay, we had a win's a win, so we had to do some asymmetric warfare to win. But I hate everything about this.
I hate it too.
I hate the message it sends to the kids. I hate that Pentatonix didn't press.
Pecatonica.
I hate everything about this.
There wasn't enough effort by the favorite to take the game into their own hands. I don't like holding the basketball. I get it. They're better than you. There is no shot clock in all of Illinois State basketball, not just this section. It's across the entire
state. If I had the over, I'm pissed.
Well, if you're gambling on high school basketball, you got bigger problems, I would say, particularly a sectional final, whatever the hell it was. But, yeah, I get it. Coach, you found a way. You go viral. Not that that was your plan. You just wanted to win the game, and the kids execute the game plan to a T. But I'm taking a little off the top of this win, a little bit.
It also executed the game plan to a T. You mean held the ball at their hip for 7 minutes?
Yeah, no, I was saying.
Congratulations, guys.
If it was me, I'm taking a shot.
Of course.
I don't know if I can hold the ball for 7 minutes.
But we don't.
I'm just standing out there, like if you're one of the guys off ball, okay. But if I got the guy holding the ball
you're
for
the point
7 minutes
for Eastland.
Yeah, whoever is determined is the person who's capable of doing it and not screwing it up by dribbling, I guess.
Playing basketball?
Yeah, I'd be so mad. I'm here to play ball.
Yeah.
In my head, I know they beat us, but I think we can beat them again, playing our way.
The final score was in the 30s. So, like, they did play basketball at some point, which is why.
Well, after the first 7 minutes of the first quarter.
Yeah.
But, it was 1-0.
But that's why, like, I'm like, okay. I can't crush them too hard because they did eventually go out there and play and earn it.
Well, the thing is, I don't know.
If they won like 6-4,
yeah,
then I'm like, this is BS.
I just don't know how the rest of the game went because I'm not looking into it. I won't dare. No. But it's 1-0 at the end of a quarter. So you were better than them over the course of the next three by four. Maybe your way would have worked no matter what.
Like just playing?
Just playing ball. Now, I'm not saying you gotta be the 7 seconds or less Suns.
That's the thing. There's a middle ground between not doing anything for 7 minutes because you're trying to slow down a fast-paced team, and which, by the way, should have pressed. But you can slow it down without having to throw it in park. You can be like, hey, yeah, whatever, the four passes before you take a shot. Like,
something.
Anything.
Don't embarrass the game.
It was embarrassing to the game and to Eastland.
Yes.
I hope they get smoked in the next round of their playoff.
True. I need whoever the other team is to do something that frustrates the hell out of Eastland. I don't know what it would be because apparently they have all the patience in the world. But something. I'm rooting against those. The kids, it's harsh.
No.
I'm rooting against the coach.
I'm rooting against the kids, too.
No.
I'm rooting against those 16-year-olds.
They took orders from a coach.
Uh-huh. A lot of people are following orders, do bad things.
Well, it's basketball, Sean. It's not exactly what you're referring to.
A lot of people are just following orders.
It's not 1945. And before. It's just Illinois State basketball.
Hmm.
No, it's not comparable. Trust me.
I mean, they're playing 1945 basketball.
Not even, because even Norman Dell said you could pass a basketball. Shout out to Gene Hackman, RIP. Even he won it passes just before you shot.
I know. This actually bothers me. I think if they would have won, like, 6-4. It would have. It's like more Mickey Mouse, but at least they stay committed to it. They really were like, we just needed this to not be a 4-quarter game. We need it to be a 3-quarter game.
Because perhaps they couldn't run with those guys for 4 quarters, but 3, we got a real shot.
We got it. And here in Eastland,
and they won. Mickey like Mouse. Like they say, it looks like a blind drive in the box score, right, Sean? It looks like a regular-ass, low-scoring game in the box score, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, not really, because it says 36-31.
Hey, can you not really explain what happened in the first quarter? By stats, we're just not going to mention that in the box score. That 1 point was scored through an entire first quarter of a sectional final. Okay. I don't want to win a title that way, that's all I'm saying.
And it's disgusting to Illinois basketball.
Yeah. I've never cared about Illinois basketball. Never will again.
No.
But this, embarrassing to the sport.
Yeah. What would Derrick Rose think? That's what I asked this coach.
Well, he would have pressed, stole that ball from that kid, and dunked all over
him.
That's what
he walked over.
Yeah. He would have. He would have. He would just removed that ball from that kid's hand and went down to the other end and dunked on him.
Reverse double pump. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that's what Derrick Rose would have done because he did it quite a bit in his high school career. Okay, we'll get the break here. But before I do that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to because spring is coming, and what that means is you get employee savings on their Silverado 1500s. They are giving you the opportunity to pay what the employees pay on that car. You can check out the entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com and then head on out there. It's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And maybe you don't want a Silverado 1500. There are plenty of other cars you can take a look at, from the Blazers to the Tracks. They're all out there waiting for you to give a good look at. And once you get out there, you can understand this. The price doesn't change. The price is the price, whether you're getting those employee savings or not. They're going to get you in the car that's best suited to you. And I want to let you know that Sammy, who you might meet out there, is the employee of the week. He does a great job of understanding what type of buying experience you want, and he's going to make it easy and enjoyable for you. He's very friendly, very funny, and that's part of the deal when you go out there. There's no pressure. There are no high-pressure tactics. All they want you to do is find the car for you, and they'll put you in that car. So check it out, whether you are just going to check them out on the website at monumentchevrolet.com and then go on out there and see all they have to offer on the lot. Whether it be Sammy or another great salesperson, the Monument Chevrolet people take care of you because they've been in a business for 50 years and they're going to treat you like family, because that's what it's like when you're out there. You become part of their family. So monumentchevrolet.com, going out there at Pasadena and Beltway, off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this is Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.